David Chi, our pastoral intern, the preaching of God's word. So pray for him as he is preaching. Receive the word from him, because this is not his word as we read it and as he is reading it, but this is the word to you from the Lord. So, David, come tell us a little bit about God's word.
Good morning, and this morning we are going to read Proverbs chapter 2, and in your pew Bible, page number is 626. This is God's word. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress, with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to your word and listen, continue to listen to your word. And as we learned this morning Sunday school, by the help of the Holy Spirit, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have communion with God the Father, and we see his glory as we listen to your word and receive it. Lord, we cannot worship you in truth and spirit without faith. So give us faith. Help us to practice our faith. In doing so, may your name be exalted alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, we have seen the chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1. I don't know how many of you could remember what we heard, because that's our simple nature. But in chapter 1, we have heard two voices, the voice of wisdom and the voice of foolishness. And one of the applications was, in the middle of your week, just stop and to think to which voice you are listening. But as I prepared the sermon, I was wondering how many of us actually put into action, actually stop in the middle of the week and think about wisdom. And we know probably most of us just forget about that. But my point is this. Why do we not take wisdom seriously? Why? Let's be honest, if we have something important in our life, we will never forget. If you get it with cost all things, you will do it. But in terms of wisdom, God's wisdom, we don't do like that because we don't take God's wisdom important and seriously. So, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Solomon did not stop to write just chapter 1, and here's chapter 2. So from this chapter, I want to show you Christians must seek God's wisdom urgently. You and I must seek God's wisdom urgently. And there are 2 points. From the first 6 verses, we are going to see our need to seek God's wisdom. And second, from the rest of the verse, our urgency to seek God's wisdom, our need and urgency. So if we review and taste a little bit of the previous chapter, in chapter 1, verse 20, Solomon says, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market, she raises her voice." And verse 22, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? And fools hate knowledge." So Solomon said to his son, "My son, listen. Wisdom is calling you. Wisdom is seeking you urgently." And then chapter 2, Solomon came and continues, "And now it's your turn to seek God's wisdom." Verse 1 of chapter 2. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So Solomon says, it's not enough that wisdom is finding you, calling you. You need to put into action. You need to seek out. But when we think about this verse, and let's amplify the text, why was Solomon so urgent to exhort his son to find wisdom? Why? I don't know if you remember 1 Kings chapter 3, and from there, right after Solomon became a king of Israel, he prayed God to seek wisdom, and he earned it, right? But in verse 7 of the chapter, Solomon said like this to God, "You have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in." So the phrase here, "go out or come in," is a Hebrew phrase that "I don't know how to behave myself." So Solomon became a king, and he has lots of pressure. And even worse, the previous king was the King David, the king. And then now when he sees himself, wow, I don't know what I need to do as a king. He feels pressure. That's why he has to seek God's wisdom. But the important thing comes verse 9. "Give your servants, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people. That purpose, that I may discern between good and evil." So Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 3, when he pleaded God to find wisdom, he knew that without God's wisdom, and then if he rules the kingdom of Israel, he's going to destroy the kingdom like Saul. He knew he naturally is inclined to evil. He knew he cannot discern what is good and evil. That's why he had to seek God's wisdom, so that may he rule God's kingdom well. And then as an experienced and old king, now in Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon said to his son, "My son, you don't know how to discern between good and evil. That's why you need God's wisdom. You don't know how to behave yourself before God's eyes. You don't know how to live rightly in the presence of God. Therefore, seek God's wisdom. But that the reality of need of God's wisdom also can be applied to us directly, because we often don't know how to behave ourselves before God. There are lots of decisions sometimes we have to make, but we have no clue what we are supposed to do. That's why we must seek God's wisdom. Today, where the world we are living, for me, it seems like the world considers wisdom something like a life hack. Do you know what is life hack? It's a very novelty method to do something to make your life easy. So like, for example, if you follow this way, then you can peel the boiled eggs like perfectly without cracking, something like that. But when the Bible talks about wisdom, the wisdom is not a life hack. It is a matter of morality. It is about the art of living before God's eyes. It is about how to live rightly before God. All of us either live rightly by glorifying God or not. Either we follow the wisdom and worship Him, exalt His name, or not. God designed the world, designed marriage between man and woman. And sinner says no. And that is foolishness. God commanded children to obey their parents. Sinner says no. That is foolishness. God calls all sinners to come to Jesus Christ and believe in Him. And sinner says no. That is foolishness. One author, one theologian says this: the ultimate foolishness is the attempt to live in God's world without God. We are living in the God's world, but sinners want to get rid of God in their life. So the foolishness when the Bible talks about is not just something stupid. It is about wickedness. The life of the fool is rebellious against God. And at the same time, we all know, even though we are confessing Christians, we often rebel against God. We often live like an atheist, practically speaking. That's why we need to seek God's wisdom today. Now, then how to seek God's wisdom? Solomon was very kind here. Look at verse 3. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. So here, when the Bible says call out and raise your voice, that means to pray. So Solomon says, my son, pray and seek God's wisdom, then God will give it to you, like verse 6. But this prayer is not cold. Look at verse 4. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, means pray urgently, pray earnestly, as if you are seeking hidden treasure, then God is going to give wisdom to you. And that's what had Solomon experienced, as you saw, 1 Kings 3, and that's what our Savior also promised, right? Ask, it will be received to you. And seek, you will find. Seek wisdom, then you will find. But I also want you to know the logic of verse 3 to 5. Solomon says, so seek wisdom, my son, then you will find. But look at verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Solomon could have said, then you will receive God's wisdom. But he didn't say it like that. He's talking about the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. So to put it another way, what is the purpose to seek God's wisdom? Why do we seek God's wisdom? Is it simply because to make our life easy? Is it simply because we want to be a good moral Christian in the world? According to Solomon, that's because the purpose of seeking God's wisdom is God himself. As we seek God's wisdom, we glorify God by fearing God as God. When we seek God's wisdom, we enjoy our God by knowing him intimately and personally. Yeah, it sounds like Westminster Shorter Catechism number one, right? The chief end of man, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. As a sinner, we can't live like that. That's why we need to seek wisdom, so that may we glorify God and enjoy him, so that may we live rightly before God's eyes. So far, we have seen our need to seek God's wisdom. And let's change the gear. From verse 7 to the end, Solomon is talking about our urgency to seek God's wisdom. So there are many ways that you can understand the text, but I think one of the ways is Solomon, in a sense, is picturing the life of the wise, like the way, the destiny of the wise. And in that way, God is going to guide and protect and deliver him and preserve him. So let's look at one by one. Verse 7 to 11, God's guidance and protection. Verse 7, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his sinners. And go down, verse 11, discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you. Isn't it attractive? Don't you want God guides your life and protect you through giving you all the wisdom you need? If you want that kind of life, once again, seek wisdom right now. God promises you. But our God is not only going to protect and guide us, but also he is going to deliver us from foolishness. Look at verse 12. Delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked, and who are devious in their ways. So God is, if we seek wisdom, God is going to deliver us from all wickedness. All wickedness. It is almost the opposite of verse 9, like righteousness, justice, and equity in every good path. And then Solomon continues from verse 16. So you will be delivered. So there is another foolishness. You will be delivered from forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. So far, if Solomon is talking about God's deliverance from wickedness, and now he's talking about God's deliverance from unfaithfulness. If you have the margin, and if you have ESV, then you can see the margin number 1 and 2, and then says the forbidden woman is strange, and adulteress is a foreign woman. So what Solomon is about to talk is, these kind of people are Israelites at that time. They were in God's community and they worship Yahweh. But their life is like atheistic. Their life is like Gentile. If we put it in our time, these are the people who are professing Christians, but their life looks like just non-Christians, unbelievers. And verse 17, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Solomon says this kind of people actually abandoned God. And then verse 18, Solomon says, this kind of people is dangerous. Why? For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed, because they are running into destruction, death. But verse 19, none who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. This kind of people are dangerous, because they are not going to run into destruction alone, but cling you together, go to the destruction together. That's why they are dangerous. But Solomon says, and God says through his word, seek wisdom, and God is going to deliver us from that kind of unfaithfulness also. And lastly, Solomon continues, so you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. So Solomon says, if you seek wisdom, then you will finish the race of faith. God will make you finish the race. God will preserve you to the point you just enter into the land of Emmanuel if you seek wisdom. If you not, the last verse, you are the wicked, you are the treacherous, and God is going to judge you. Today we have seen Levi's baptism, and as Ecclesiastes says, there is a time of joy and laugh, and there is a time of mourning. But as a congregation of DRPC, Devinger Road, we also saw what happened 2 weeks ago. There is a time of joy and there is a time of sadness. There is a time to be born and there is a time to die, right? And when I heard the news of our dear brother, Steve Kern, 2 weeks ago, Monday, I was really shocked, because I didn't expect that God is going to call him this quick, this early. Maybe none of us, when we were on the last Lord's Day, 2 weeks ago, none of us would expect that the next day, Monday, when Monday comes, then God is going to call him. Maybe none of us would expect that. But I have to learn, I had to learn the exact same lesson 9 years ago, when my father passed away. At the time, I was in South Korea, and I was a college student. And doctor said to us, my family, and said, your father has last 2 weeks. And then the midterm was in front of me. And I remember I said to myself, okay, 2 weeks. Yeah, nobody's going to take my exam, so let me finish my exam first. And then I'm going to prepare my heart and say goodbye to my dad. But God called my dad even before the exam. My friends, why do we have to seek God's wisdom, which is ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ now? That's because we do not know when God is going to call us. There is no guarantee that next Lord's Day we are going to worship here. If God calls us now, we must go. And children, it doesn't matter how you are young. It doesn't matter how you are old. If God calls, you must go. And even it doesn't matter if you are a believer or not. Because all of us need Jesus Christ. All of us need God's wisdom now. Seek God's wisdom. Seek Jesus Christ right now. We do not know tomorrow. If you think if you boast your tomorrow, the Bible says you are fool. And even James talks even further, saying you are committing a sin of arrogance against God. Who we are, nothing but dust. seek Jesus now. But secondly, if you are not seeking Jesus and God's wisdom now, with whatever reason, if you keep lingering to believe the Lord Jesus Christ, I have to warn you, you are playing a really dangerous game. You don't know with whom you are playing. He's not a man, he's God. You have to obey him right now. Do you know why the Bible calls those who reject the gospel as foolish? Thinking about this, tomorrow morning, if God gives us a new day and we open our eyes, and there was something like 6 o'clock in the morning, and then sun didn't come up because, you know, it's winter, it's still dark, so okay, it's dark, and do your stuff. And 7 o'clock, oh, it's still dark. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, at noon, still outside it's dark. Then you think something is wrong. Sun is supposed to rise up, but it's not. It's absurd, right? God commands sun is supposed to set, rise and set. When God calls to follow Jesus Christ, when God preaches the gospel, yes, it's a free offering. Preach everyone, no, everybody. And whoever comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are going to be saved. But it does not mean that you can freely pick and choose God's commandment. It is a divine commandment. God commands you to obey Jesus Christ. Therefore, you have to come to Jesus Christ right now if you do not seek God's wisdom. But lastly, if you are a Christian and if you already know our Savior Jesus Christ, then I will give you the same exhortation. Obey Jesus Christ to the end. Especially this kind of season when we lose our beloved elder and friend and brother, it's really tough. When we taste the reality of sin and death, it's really tough. But didn't we hear the victorious voice of our God from Steve Kearns? God really guided him to eternal life. God really protected and guarded him from foolishness. God really preserved him in spite of his physical illness. And eventually, he now is in rest. He entered into the land of Emmanuel, and he rejoiced and he enjoyed God himself. And then this is the commandment that our Lord Jesus Christ gave us in Revelation chapter 2. At the end of verse 10 to 11. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful unto death. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Are you sorrowful because of the loss of our dear brother? Are you wearied by the reality of sin and death? Our God commands us, be faithful unto death. There is a crown of life. And on top of that, if you follow Jesus Christ and seek and obey him right now, God is going to guide you. God is going to deliver you, protect you, and God is going to preserve you to the end. In doing so, may we persevere until we enter into heaven. So, In the beginning of the sermon, I mentioned about we don't seek God's wisdom. And maybe another reason why we don't seek God's wisdom is that our life is filled with lots of stuff, lots of things to do. But at the end of the day, when you close your eyes as your last, when you breathe your last, there is only one thing left, only one thing, your estate of eternal life. Our God invites us to find Him, to seek Him. Then there is eternal life. There is a crown of life. Seek Jesus Christ right now and be faithful until you enter into the land of Emmanuel. Let us pray. Our God, who we are, nothing but dust. Even worse by nature, we rebel against you. We hate your wisdom. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, you teach us the wisdom of God, which is unfathomable, which is against our intuition, which is beyond our understanding. Lord, we pray. Sometimes Christian life is tough. It's painful. Teach us how to obey you. Teach us how to live wise. Teach us how to live rightly before your eyes. In doing so, may we finish this race well, and may we receive the crown of life. In Jesus' name we pray.